The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good morning. Welcome to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. Barbara is here to keep you educated on elder care issues. She will give you the information you need to help your aging loved one and yourself. Now here is your host, Barbara Friesner.
Good morning and welcome to AgeWise Living, and thanks so much for joining us today. I'm so delighted to be here and to have all of you here too. I'm your host, Barbara Friesner, and my company is AgeWise Living. And as a result of my experience as a care manager for more than 25 years, first for my grandmother for many years, and for the past 17 years for my mother, who had severe advanced dementia, I became a generational coach to help other families have an easier time as they journeyed through elder care. Now, as a generational coach, I work with family members, and only the family members, never the seniors. I work only with the family members. And I help the family members figure out what to do to help their aging loved one. And more importantly, I think anyway, I help them communicate effectively with their aging loved one so they'll actually do what is in their best interest. Because knowing what to do is important, but if they won't do it, then kind of out of luck. Now, with the generational coaching, all of the generational coaching is by phone. So I work with people all over the country, all over the world actually, but all over the country primarily. And since my work is by phone, I'm able to work with all of the siblings who might be spread out all over the country, because it's really important to me that all the siblings are working together to support their aging loved one and to support the caregiver. And a lot of times, the caregiver is struggling and doing all the work, and the siblings are either not helping or, in some cases, they're actually even sabotaging them. So it's really important to me to get everybody working together, and even if they can't get the siblings to work together, then at least to have them so that they're not sabotaging them. In addition, I'm also an adjunct professor at Cornell University, where I teach senior housing management. I write a free weekly newsletter with lots of great articles about issues affecting seniors and their families. And by the way, if you haven't signed up for my free weekly newsletter, I really urge you to do that. And it's very easy. All you have to do is go to agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com. And on any page, there's a place that you can sign up to get the free weekly newsletter. So, again, that's agewiseliving.com. And then I also write a monthly column for the National Association of Baby Boomer Women. And I'm a national speaker and seminar leader. And I'm also the creator of the Ultimate Caregiver Success System. Tell me what to do. That's what I hear just about every elder caregiver I meet. Please, 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 just tell me what to do. Well, with the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, that's just what I do. I took my 25 years of elder care experience and created the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, which provides the what to do and the how to do it that elder caregivers are begging for, and it's got lots of checklists and worksheets and examples and all the things you need to make it simple to follow. And with an 8-CD box set that it comes with, you also get all the background information you need to get a full, clear picture of your aging loved one and everything you need to be successful. And not only something I want to make sure I mention, because there's a special that's good only until this Friday. So in addition to the book and the CDs, you also You can pay in 3 installments. And if you purchase the Ultimate Caregiver Success System by midnight this Friday, July 31st, I will also give you $50 off the full price. But please, please, please don't wait, because that's the $50 offer ends this Friday at midnight. That's July 31st. And if you want more information about it, just go to theultimatecaregiverssuccesssystem.com. That's theultimatecaregiverssuccesssystem.com. And then finally, I have this show, Age-Wise Living, because it is my mission to help family members help their aging loved ones resolve their elder care issues by choice, not crisis. And every once in a while, I find someone who approaches this important topic in a really interesting, amusing, and very creative way. And our guest today, Anthony Cirillo, is one of those people. For example, the name of his book is Who Moved My Dentures, which I think is a great title, and which, by the way, is a wonderful book. So, hi, Anthony. Welcome.
Hi, Barbara. Thanks for having me.
I'm delighted you're here, and let me tell everyone a little bit about your background. Anthony Cirillo is president of Fast Forward Marketing Consulting and Anthony's Song, located in Huntersville, North Carolina. He's a prolific national and international speaker. He also consults with hospitals and long-term care facilities internationally, working internationally, offering strategic counsel in marketing, public relations, and the resident and patient's experience. Anthony is a fellow of the American College of Healthcare Executives and an accredited business communicator of the International Association of Business Communicators. He is a past board member of the Society for Healthcare Strategy and Market Development, past president of IABC Philadelphia, and a frequent contributor to Health Leaders Online. Anthony's career has spanned hospital work, broadcasting, Fortune 500, and the launching of a Wall Street healthcare startup. A native of Philadelphia, he attained his undergraduate degree from Drexel University and his graduate degree from the University of Pennsylvania. And as I mentioned before, Anthony is the author of Who Moved My Dentures, which is a book that debunks myths about nursing homes, and we're going to be talking about that today. And his most recent book contribution was to the Health Leaders publication, Case Studies in Niche Marketing, in which he authored the chapter Marketing to Baby Boomers. Anthony is a patient expert blogger in aging and senior health for WellSphere, an online health community, and also a guest blogger for the Advance in Long-Term Care Management and Long-Term Care Living magazine. He has 16 CDs and has 12 activity guides specially produced for activity professionals. He's been a lifelong entertainer who has performed in casinos and resorts, been to Nashville to record, and has received several Billboard songwriting awards, which is fascinating. He actively entertains older adults in long-term care facilities, averaging 150 performances a year, and uses his musical talents in keynote addresses to caregiving groups, boomers, and industry professionals. Wow, busy guy. Again, welcome, Anthony. I'm so delighted to have you with us here today.
Thanks for having me again.
Now, the name of the show today is The Meaning of Life, so that's where I want to start.
Sure.
Okay, Anthony, what is the meaning of life?
Well, if I tell you that, first of all, the show will be over, but we all know what the real meaning of life is. The real meaning of life is only found out by consistently listening to the Age-Wise Living program. That's how I...
Oh, there you go. Thank you.
How's that for the meaning of life?
Uh-oh. Well, there you go. And we can finish now.
There you go.
Now, you have a very diverse background, and I understand you arrived at your mission in a very unusual way.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it you became involved in elder issues, and what are you trying to achieve?
Sure. Well, essentially, and as you eloquently spoke there with my background, you know, I'm going down two tracks in my life. One was hospital marketing consultant, so a guy who worked in healthcare, several different hospitals, the company in New York, et cetera, et cetera. But I've always been a lifelong entertainer. I've, you know, it's always, as you could tell, been more than a more than a hobby. It's you know, been sort of an avocation, you know, semi-professional. And I've done that before. I sort of knew what I wanted to be when I grew up. I think I'm still trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up, but that's beside the point. And essentially, after a while, you get kind of tired of playing in nightclubs and all that kind of stuff, and I was growing tired of all that. And I said, you know what? Where can I devote my performance energies? And our hospital had an adult medical daycare center, and I went and entertained. And at the time, it was just, you know, a way to make a little extra money and keep the singing chops going. But, you know, something took over. I realized that I was getting a heck of a lot of fulfillment out of it, and I was giving a lot as well to other people. So this mission was born, which sort of evolved into the book, professional speaking, you know, now some services to bring to facilities, you know, and so what I think my platform is pretty simple, and one of them is, it much mirrors yours, is having educated aging choices made, not choices made in a crisis. And when I write my blog every day, I try to keep that in mind, that giving people information to actually start looking at all of these issues earlier in life, because if you prepare now, it's going to be a heck of a lot easier should something happen. Because I spend so much time in nursing homes that we know that they're all, it's always a crisis choice. It's right. Always a crisis. Nobody prepares for that. And as a society, we need to learn what it's like to, you know, to grow older in the issues. The other thing is simple, real simple, respect and dignity for elders. We, you know, we write people off. There was a study on aging just done, I guess a few weeks ago it came out or something. They asked people what they thought old age was, and, you know, the younger kids said like 60.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's scary, you know. I'm 52, for God's sake. So,
I'm 60,
you know.
So I'm really scared. But the fact is, I know, and my sisters and I were together this weekend, and we were talking about that, and the fact is that when our parents were 60, they were old. And our grandparents were dead by then. I mean, mine weren't, but, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where old age has really changed.
Exactly. I mean, my mother's 88, and she's young.
Right, exactly.
Young in her attitude, you know, young in the way she presents herself, the dress, the other, it's a kind of, she's a whole story. She's a whole show. You should have her on.
Yeah, and you mentioned her in the book, and we're going to, and in fact, I just love the title of your book.
The singing and the healthcare.
I'm sorry?
I mean, that's how that's the platform, and that's kind of how it all collided together with the singing background and the healthcare background.
Was because of your mom?
Well, no, because I'm just kind of just finishing thought from the original question.
Was how you got into it. And,
yes, exactly.
And one of the things, I just love that, and it all really does, everything that you do really converges, because I just love the title of your book, Who Move My Dentures? And
right.
I think that's just so funny. And that's what somebody sent that title to me, and I said, oh, my God, I've got to find out about this man. So tell me how the book came about, and what's with the title?
Okay. Well, you know, there was that book about cheese or something, you
right.
know. But here's how the book came about. I was starting to go into nursing homes, and I was meeting a lot of great people. And I was starting to learn a lot what it meant to live in some of these facilities with the quality of life. Because, you know, I also maintain that the people who are having me come in and sing have a different attitude about the quality of life in facilities than perhaps some other places. So I tend to see a fairly good side, and I'm also there only for a finite period of time, so I happen to see the goodness, which, you know, that's not a bad thing to see, right? And I was collecting these human interest stories of people, and I finally said, you know, I'm going to sit down and start writing something. And my first interview was actually with a gentleman who was up in we have a place up in the Pennsylvania Mountains, past Scranton, and in a little town called Forest City, Pennsylvania. Myself and a wonderful man called Milton Bainbridge sat down on a Christmas or New Year's Eve day and talked about his wife, because this was a gentleman whose wife was in the nursing facility, and he would greet me at the door every time I went and performed, and he had a little sweater vest and a shirt and a tie. I mean, just dapper as can be, the most pleasant man. Only place I've ever sung where he actually served me tea in fine china. You know, I'm lucky I get a glass of water in some other places. And so he was the genesis of starting the stories, and that's how it came about. The title,
Before you give us the title, people are going to have to ask people to hold on. We're going to ask people to hold on for that because we need to go to a break.
Okay.
So we're going to stop right here. This is Barbara Friesner, and you are listening to AgeWise Living. Our guest today is Anthony Cirillo, and when we come back, he's going to be answering more questions about the meaning of life. And to get information about Anthony, go to his website, which is anthonyssong.com. And also, remember for a step-by-step guide to what to do and how to do it, and for $50 off the retail price before Friday, go to the Ultimate Caregivers SuccessSystem.com. So with that, we will be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Amanda, age 3. Tyler, age 8. Marissa, age 4.5.
We could tell you just how many child abductions last year led to Amber Alerts, but this isn't about cold statistics. It's about saving kids.
Shaniqua, age 14.
To get free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. When an alert is issued in your area, you'll receive it as a free text message. Wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in your brain inspired really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, and welcome back to AgeWise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner. And today we are with Anthony Cirillo, and he is telling us about the meaning of life. And before we went to break, Anthony, you were talking about your book, Who Moved My Dentures, and also how this book came about.
Sure.
And the title. So
I think we left off at the title.
At the title, yes, if you would please.
And that book about cheese was about adaptability in the workplace, right? Bestseller. And it was about, things change in the workplace, how do you adapt? Well, as I cumulatively looked at all the stories in my book, it was primarily about living in assisted and nursing facilities, and every one of them was about adaptation, but in a different setting for a different stage of life. So it actually made sense. I was obviously looking for an outrageous title, but it actually made sense in that it kind of correlated with a certain theme.
Well, it's a great title, and it's very funny. And in your book, you talk about 13 different myths about long-term care facilities.
Sure.
So give us a couple of examples.
Sure. Well, I think the first thing, and it's really probably a mind shift more than anything, is that, you know, the public's perception of any long-term care facility, and the public tends to group them together. They could be continuing care communities and assisted living and nursing homes, but I was particularly writing about nursing homes, is that people look at them and it's a place to die. That's, 85% of the public's perception. It's a place to die.
Right.
And I switch it. It's a place to live. It's another chapter of your life. Your life is far from over. And in great quality facilities, the people are going to, know who you are as a person. They're going to honor that, and they're going to, help you in the next journey. We like to call it, a graceful transition into what's next in your life. So that's one thing that, and obviously I have a story in the book about one woman named Jean Kopeck. And, the only problem with my book is that it's a few years old now, and a lot of the people I've written about, unfortunately, have passed on. But Jean was a wonderful woman who was a widowed young, raised her sons, mild-mannered, meek housewife, and she knew she needed some help, and she went into the facility, and she looked at it as an opportunity. How many people would look at going into a nursing home as an opportunity? Because she was really soft-spoken, and she never in her life necessarily participated. She always made her sons first, obviously, and in the facility, she was right out there. I mean, she was just doing, everything, participating in my programs, just all kinds of things like that. So that's one myth we bust.
And I think that really is such an important one, is that it's not, because it makes it, that mind shift not only for seniors but also for their children, to really think in terms of, I'm not putting my mother away as, where she's going to die, if I don't, if I look at it as an opportunity for her to have this wonderful place in an assisted living or continuing care or the nursing home, it means that you present it differently too, which I think is just so important.
Oh, absolutely. And with the right mindset. And then obviously the caregivers, the families have to be involved, and they have to, visit. Unfortunately, and I'm sure you see this as well, I go into so many places where the residents just have no one who visits.
Yeah.
And it's shameful. It's just shameful in this society that should happen, which sort of gets to another kind of myth. And this was more, the story in the book is more from an assisted living facility, but it's really about, people think people go into facilities and they're isolated, alone, they stay in the room, and actually, these can be great places to, foster socialization and friendship. And there's so many studies about the value of friendship. And I have an example in my book, Carolyn and Betty. And they weren't friends before, they became fast friends when they met in the assisted living facility. Now, here's the kicker. Betty was medically cleared to leave the assisted living facility. She had her own home, her car, and she didn't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't she want to leave? Well, she didn't want to leave because of the socialization and the friends that she found in the facilities. And a lot of times, I did a blog a few weeks ago, and I talked about, is home the best place for our elders? Now, of course, that was kind of provocative because, first of all, people think I'm some, sadistic person, want to throw mom in the nursing home. But my point in the blog was, a lot of times, and I could use my own mom as an example sometimes, because sometimes if she's home by herself, if she actively doesn't say, I'm going to get up and go do something, she won't eat right, so she won't necessarily take care of herself. And so, there are some arguments to say socialization's a great thing, and these places can offer that and offer friendship.
And one of the things I know
from the movements
from
in the industry, that's happening even more.
One of the things from my family, I know something that I say often, I completely agree with you, and that is that a lot of times people think they're doing their loved one a favor. They say their mother or father says they want to stay in their own home, but they're alone all day long, or they take them into the children, bring them to come live with them. And what ends up happening is they're, again, home alone all day long.
Uh-huh.
And to have that kind of, to have the socialization, especially if there's dementia, where you can be with people who are going to engage them in really good ways that can keep them, keep what brain cells there are going, you know, keep them going for longer. So it's not for everybody, but it's a great place to have people around you, and so I completely agree with you.
Yeah, and, you know, in good places recognize, you know, and I do, I've learned this in my performances. You know, I was a novice when I first started. You know, it's kind of funny, though, being a performer in a nursing home. Actually, I didn't start out as a performer. I was always a guy in a band who had a guitar strapped or a bass strapped to his, you know, around his neck and, you know, happened to be a good lead vocalist. But I became a performer when I actually started going into these places. And that's because, you know, these people, they have tastes and likes and they know what they want. But the thing I've learned, you know, and you know this, but, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's patients, you accept them for who they are at that point in their life.
And they really connect to music.
Absolutely.
So that's something that's so important. And you will never find a more appreciative audience.
This is true. And being a male Italian with a big ego, I love that, you know? So anyway, let's see, another myth, you know, there's nothing to do, of course. That's a big one. And, you know, and
there's so much to do.
I will say there are some, you know, nursing homes where, you know, people are still plucked in front of the TV and left alone, and that's sad. But there are others who really, you know, take a real history of their resident, you know, and some of this is now being more regulated, too. You know, around there's a whole person-centered care movement in long-term care around, you know, essentially saying that, you know, if someone wants an activity when they want it, they should have it, you know, if it meets their needs, and anybody in the facility should be able to kind of accommodate that. So you're finding more and more, you know, not just scheduled group, you know, large hall activities, but individualized as well. And I think that the, you know, myth is that you know, go in there and, again, nothing to do. And I, you know, in Jean's case, for example, she was doing things she never did before. I mean, one day the activity director just, you know, was just talking about cars, and she goes, you know, what kind of car do you like? And Jean shouted out, a Ford Mustang. And you know, she just said it out of thin air only because her son had one. So the next day the activity director happened to have one. So she brought it in. They put the convertible top down. They put Jean in the, you know, on the passenger seat, and they, you know, went for a spin somewhere. So, you know, I'm sure that was a great new experience for her. A little simple thing, you know.
Yeah, and one of the things that you have that you were quoting one of the activity directors, that there are three types of people. There's the go-go,
right,
the slow-go, and the no-go.
Right.
And if people don't want to do things, they don't have to do them either. But there are people who do everything, and people who do some things, and people who don't want to do anything, and then they don't make them do it.
Sure.
You know, it's not everybody is on a forced march or anything. I mean, you know, you want to sing, you sing. You don't want to sing, you don't sing. You go to your room if you don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, that's great. And because you spend so much, and the book is wonderful, because what I love is that you take the 13 myths and then you give stories about them, and then you give a conclusion about what's the truth and what's false and additional information. So, I mean, I just loved your book.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And what we're going to do, we're going to take a break now we're going to stop here for a break, because when we come back, I want because you spend so much time in nursing facilities, you offer great advice about choosing facilities, so I wanted to get some tips about that.
Sure.
But we're going to stop right here for a break. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to AgeWise Living, and our guest today is Anthony Cirillo. And when we come back, he will be answering more questions about the meaning of life. And to get more information about Anthony, go to his website, which is anthonyssong.com, or you can contact him at Cirillo@4WARDFAST.com. That's Cirillo, Cirillo, @4WARDFAST.com. And with that, we will be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com, to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
If you want to put the pep back in your step, Chad Lafferty says just what you're looking for. Dance is life. Life is dance.
It's only about dance.
It's about moving through life with style, gaining awareness of the never-ending, ever-flowing movement that accompanies all of life's activities. Dance is life. Life is dance. Broadcast every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Radio Network. Be sure to tune in and tap into the limitless healing that dance can provide.
Can't stop now.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. Do you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program? Call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to AgeWise Living, and I am Barbara Friesner, and today we're talking with Anthony Cirillo, and he is telling us about the meaning of life. And one of the things that, as I mentioned before we went on break, is that because you spend so much time in nursing facilities, your book offers advice in choosing facilities. And I would really love for people to have, for you to share those tips, because I really would like people to have that information. Now, you're talking about nursing homes specifically?
Well, you know, it probably was written for nursing homes, but a lot of this can cross over to other facilities, probably not so much the independent living facilities per se, but I certainly think a lot of this is applicable to assisted living facilities, though, you know, they're just not as regulated as nursing homes. Nursing homes just seem to be more regulated, so there's a little bit more information about them that you can actually compare. So,
yeah.
So, I could go through some tips. You just give me the high sign when
I want you to stop, huh?
Exactly, because I have way more tips than time would allow. So I'll just skip around a little bit. But you know, the first thing I do is you know, before you even go to a facility, you know, there's things you can do. And so the first thing obviously is go to CMS has the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services has a site called Nursing Home Compare. And so that's one way to at least start your search and search for facilities in your arena. Now, that's obviously, this is nursing homes. I think there's an assisted living directory somewhere, but it's not in a rating system like the CMS has for nursing homes. Now, CMS just introduced something called a 5-star quality rating system. A lot of controversy about that in the industry. It's based on actual inspections of nursing facilities by the state, which really varies from state to state in the enforcement, some self-reported staffing levels and self-reported quality levels. So there's a lot of controversy because, you know, there's one to five stars, and there's like a forced ranking. So There always has to be a one. There always has to be a five. And a five in one state really might be the equivalent of a two somewhere else. So, you know, some of this, it's a starting point. It's a starting point. So that's a couple things you would do. Then what I tell people is it's so simple that, you know.
Before you,
just,
you go on, the go ahead. Where would you find this rating? Is there a website?
Yes. If you go to, I don't have the actual web address right in front of me, but if you just type in Nursing Home Compare in Google, you'll find it.
Great.
And it's at the CMS website, and then CMS is the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services.
Great. Okay, so just, so one more time, what's the phrase they print type in?
Just Nursing Home Compare.
Great. Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then what I tell people is to, you know, and this is a simple one, but Google the name of the facility and see what you find. Now, sometimes you might find, you know, a link to go to Nursing Home Compare to get their ratings. But you also might find, and I talk about in my marketing side of my life a lot of word of mouth, you know, you'll find people who, you know, might have a blog or something that are talking about a particular facility or whatever. And I actually use a hospital example when I'm talking to groups about this. There's a hospital in Paris, Texas, right? And there's a gentleman who has a blog, and he's not all that friendly to the hospital in Paris, Texas, because his blog is called The Parasite. If you get it.
Wow.
Texas, The Parasite.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have good things to say about the hospital. So you just never know who's talking about you out there is kind of the point. And so you kind of want to start doing some homework about what are people saying about the facility. I mean, obviously you also want to talk to other people, caregivers, friends, pastors, discharge planners, you know, so a lot of that is just the natural evolution of just how do you pick your physician, how do you pick your hospital, you know, you talk to people who have experienced the care. So obviously that's part of it.
One of the things that I also suggest is to go in and talk to family members. Just go there on a weekend when more family members are usually there and just wander around and, you know, and you can't go into specific, individual people's rooms, and if you're not comfortable going into the nursing home itself, you can just sit outside. Usually they've got people sitting outside. And just talk to them and ask them, because you're going to get far more honest answers that way.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, that's a great segue into, you know, the tips I give about taking a tour. But I just want to offer one more piece of information on the you know, before you even go. And this is a hard one, and this one gets to more of trying to sense the mission orientation of a facility. You know, there's been a lot of press. New York Times have had some articles about ownership of facilities and how, you know, they could be one shell corporation or another, and one handles the food service, and one handles this, and one handles that, and money flows in this strange kind of way through the organization. So, you know, if there was any litigation, you would never know who actually to kind of go after. But part of that is also ways of siphoning off the money. So I actually tell people to find out who owns the place if you can, because I think that'll tell you a lot about, you know, part of the motive behind it. I mean, there are for-profit, not-for-profit organizations. They're family-owned and there's corporate-run. You know, who are the investors? You know, I'm not saying you base everything on that, but it's just a little hint about, you know, are they truly committed to, you know, our elders?
Yeah.
You know?
And
you
know, that's a really good point. When we first moved my mother into the assisted living that she lived in for about 4 or 5 years, when we moved in, it was privately owned, and within a month, it was sold to a large corporation, and everything changed.
Everything changed, right.
And the family members got together, and we formed a family council and got a lot of the things changed back or changed for the better, but that's a very good point. I had never thought of that.
Yep. And obviously Consumer Reports has, you know, they're in this space as well. They're rating nursing homes, and so you might want to look at that. You also might want to look at, you know, there's ombudsmen for facilities that go in. Some of them are paid, some of them are volunteer, and they go in and, they're out and about and they're talking to residents, and, you know, find an ombudsman who's going into nursing homes and talk to them. So that's just a kind of a little overview of the before you ever get there part.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and you've hinted at some of the ones when you're taking a tour, but some of the tips I offer is obviously visit a facility all hours of the day. You know, facilities are becoming more liberal, just like hospitals had to be about their visiting hours. So a lot of that is changing. Go on nights and weekends, you know, ask to participate in an activity, you know, look at the, you know, little things. How diligent was security when you entered? Was there security? Are they wearing their ID badges? I also talk about, you know, bring a nurse with you. If you have a friend who is a nurse, bring them with you so that they could look at sort of the clinical aspects of the care, you know, how they're acting as a team. Is there an individualized care plan for each resident? You know, how's the change of shift handled? You know, that kind of thing. Emergency procedures, you know, where will the resident be taken if something happens? You know, where's the nearest hospital? Will the resident's physician be brought into the care team? So that's a lot of questions to ask. But if you bring a nurse, perhaps they can, you know, be looking at that aspect while you're checking some other things.
And one thing that's certainly important is to go into the dining room and to take a look at the food and are people eating and are they having, you know, everybody having the same thing or is there variety and
exactly.
What's the menu and actually have a meal there so that when everybody says, oh, the food's so terrible, you go, you know what, it's not that bad. Not
yeah.
Like my mother
and,
used
you know,
to make.
The whole person-centered care movement is about, you know, not everybody has to get up at the same time because, you know, it's time to give the meds out or, you know, has to eat at the same time or, you know, the industry has a challenge in trying to vary menus so that they can be, you know, logistically and financially, you know, reasonable about it.
Right.
But that's, you know, but they're also loosening some, you know, restrictions about can you bring food in, you know. I go, there's this one place I sing in New Jersey, and I love it because every time I go, there's this little click of a table together, and the daughter always has this, like, food spread that they've brought in, and so I'm always, you know, mooching food from them. You know, what do you got? They had this great cinnamon raisin bread there one time, so I munched on the raisin bread in between songs because, so, you know, bringing food in. But also some telltale signs, you know, is the administrators, are the executive team holed up in their office, or are they actually walking around the facility?
And when they're walking around, do they know the people by name?
Exactly.
And do the people know who the person is? And so was this just for you, for show, or do they really know who they are?
Exactly, exactly. And that speaks a little bit kind of to the leadership. So, you know, observe the residents. They look happier. They're clean, clothes clean and in good repair. Are they wearing footwear or men's shaves? You know, these are just laundry list of things, you know, you could look for. So, as you mentioned, ask to have a meal in the dining room, you know. If there's more than one dining room, ask to see it. You know, observe the socialization. Are they, you know, they smiling? You know,
yeah. Or is everybody just sleeping in the lobby, or is there, you know, were they just people who didn't want to participate, and there's plenty of other things to do?
Right, right. You know, and to the extent that you can, I would talk to the staff. You know, find out how they came about doing what they're doing, and how experienced they are, and if they enjoy working there.
Also, looking at the activity sheet, I remember going in a couple of times and saying, oh, so is my mother here? Because I see that there's a trip to whatever. And they said, oh, no, the bus is out. And I said, but the bus was out last week. Is it still out? Yeah, it's still out. Or we don't have a driver, and so we're not driving anywhere until we have a bus. And those kinds of things, you know, you have to start thinking about, too. Okay, fine, it's okay for maybe a week, but or if you don't have a driver until you hire somebody, but at some point that needs to change. And so are they cutting down on staffing, for example?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So really kind of paying attention to what you're seeing and asking some questions. Now, would you say that you're pro-nursing home?
No. I mean, let's face it. None of us, I believe, want to go into a nursing home, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't think, you know, and I ask, when I'm talking to nursing home administrators, and I talk about, you know, the experience of being in your facility, I ask, how many of you ever want to be in your own facility? And, you know, a couple brave souls will raise their hand, but for the most part, you know, the room's silent, and that really brings the point, like, okay, if I won't stay here. But here's the thing, I am pro-education and pro-self-responsibility. I am totally for aging in place. But remember, I come from a hospital side of my life where, you know, you start looking at things like, well, this country is ranked 37th in the World Health Organization. You know, we have chronic conditions. You know, every third person in this country is obese. Every fourth has diabetes. 6 out of 10 have multiple chronic conditions. Now, more of that is being able to be handled in the home, and technology and medications are going to advance. But I think we're kidding ourselves to think we're not going to need these facilities. And so if we're going to need them, then we should educate ourselves about them.
Absolutely. And with that, we're going to stop here for a short break. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to Age-Wise Living. And our wonderful guest today is Anthony Cirillo. And when we come back, he's going to be answering more questions about nursing homes and long-term care and the meaning of life. And, excuse me, to get more information about Anthony, go to his website, which is anthonyssong.com. Again, that's anthonyssong.com. And if you want a step-by-step guide about what to do and how to do it, and $50 off the retail price, I really strongly urge you to look at the Ultimate Caregivers Success System, and that's on my website, but you can also get it through the Ultimate Caregivers Success System. com. And I'm really stressing it because $50 off offer is only good until midnight this Friday, July 31st. So please don't wait. And with that, we will be right back.
News. Opinion.
Can you hear me?
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary get-acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
How many of us haven't felt ripped off at one time or another?
Don't you wish you had someplace to tune in for the answers? Join Jennifer Litwin every week on The Shop Cop. She'll take the time to explain real value and keep you away from the fraud that's out there in the shopping world. Jennifer has become the shopper's advocate, which means she can get you on the right track. Her guests are a who's who in the retail world. Don't get caught making a mistake in this down economy. Jennifer Litwin is here to help. The Shop Cop, live Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Age-Wise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, and welcome back to Age-Wise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we're talking with Anthony Cirillo, and he is the author of Who Moved My Dentures? And we've been talking about that book, and it just occurs to me that I didn't mention where you can get that book, and you can get it at his website, which is thelatersong.com. I mean, I've been mentioning the website, but I didn't actually say to go there to get the not only the book, Who Moved My Dentures, at anthonyssong.com, but also you've got some great CDs. So the one that you sent me is Cirillo Sings Sinatra, and it's a 2-CD thing, and it's wonderful. So if anybody's interested, not only, and also you have the guides, right? The
activity guides?
I'm sorry?
12 activity guides, one for each month of the year.
Oh, that's great. And then also you can get the book, Who Moved My Dentures, and others of his CDs and stuff like that. So just wanted to be sure to mention that because I really thought it was a wonderful book. I was very impressed with it because it's so easy and fun to read. And your platform, as we've been talking, your platform, as mine, stresses education about aging issues before they turn into a crisis.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that I loved about your book is that at the end you offer some great resources for caregivers. And what advice do you have for caregivers in general?
Right. Well, I mean, first of all, let's just state the reality, and I think these statistics come from the Alzheimer's Association, but 40% of Alzheimer's caregivers actually have worsened health than the people they're caring for, than other caregivers, I should say. 60% of caregivers die before the one they're taking care of.
And is it so stressful?
Then 63% are at higher risk of death. So this is real stuff. Being a caregiver is a huge responsibility. And so, you know, one of the first things, and this will be a great segue to the meaning of life points, is that you need to take care of yourself. You know, you absolutely first need to take care of yourself. But that said, you need to create a plan for you and your loved one before any signs of disease or sickness appear, whether that's simple things like living wills and durable power of medical power of attorney and those types of things. You need to kind of do that. And actually, you know, talk to your family members. If you're in a big family and you have, you know, siblings, if something happens to mom or dad, what would we do? You know, who's going to take responsibility for this or that? And that's a hard conversation to have, obviously. But, you know, my sister and I have been having that for many years. And thankfully, my mother, who's 88 and just ornery as ever, is fine. But we did make one move. We moved her 5 minutes away from my sister in Florida from Philadelphia. So it's, you know, that was but we made sure it was her choice. You know, we didn't pressure her into it. When she was ready, she decided. And so part of that is having the conversation earlier. But I think you have to acknowledge your own feelings and, you know, seek out friends or pastors to talk about it, understand why you're doing the caregiving so that you're not, you know, feel resentment or, you know, when it's all said and done. There's sort of a cottage group of people springing up, you know, board certified, you know, geriatric care managers who, you know, can help people, as you do, navigate the system. You know, I would contend that if the industry were doing it right, they'd be doing this as well. But because they haven't, other people are out there, and they're great resources to help people guide through the system. I think there's a site called caremanager.org that has a list of a lot of these. I have a dear friend right here in North Carolina who kind of turned me on to the fact that there was even this profession out there. So, you know, that's something to consider when the time is right, to reach out for help and not be afraid to reach out for help.
And those are great points. I wish we had a whole other show to do that. But I don't want us. We're getting close to the end, and I don't want to leave until you tell us what is the meaning of life, Anthony. Other than listening to Age Wise Living.
There are 8 points, and I'll first premise this by saying,
a minute.
I think I got it partly right because I read a book called The Wisdom of the Earth's Elders. I'd recommend it to anybody. A gentleman went around the world and he interviewed 50 of the oldest people on earth to find out their secret of life. And the average age, 113 years old, these people. And I read his book, but I had already put my program together. And the things I'm going to tell you real quickly are almost everything that he has in his book. So I was kind of happy about that. I patted myself on the back. But the first one is purpose. You need to have purpose. I talk about a woman named Ruth Ann Whitley in the book, who was the president of the Residence Council, did all kinds of things in the facility. And when we sat in the courtyard and talked, she said, "I pray to God every day for what my purpose in life is." And I thought that was profound because she was still continuing to understand that her purpose evolves and changes, and she was on the lookout for it.
You know what? I hate to say this, but we are getting so close to the end. I'm going to have to ask if you would be willing to give us, to send to me in writing eight things to the meaning of life.
Absolutely.
And I will put it in my newsletter because we are actually out of time. And a time when really fast, and I hate to do that, but if anybody is interested, please, please, please sign up for my newsletter. Go to agewiseliving.com. And again, I'd like to thank my guest, Anthony Cirillo. And to get more information about Anthony, do go to his website, which is anthonyssong.com. And that's where you can get the book, and that's where you can get the CDs and everything. I also want to mention that for a step-by-step guide to what to do and how to do it and everything as it relates to elder care and get $50 off the retail price on the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, just go to the Ultimate Caregiver Success System. But the offer is only good until midnight this Friday, so please, please don't wait. That's the Ultimate Caregiver Success System. Now, we are ending this interview just a little early because I wanted to tell you that I will not be doing this radio show during the month of August. So I do want you to know that. I will be back on the air at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday, September 1st. Do you believe we're talking about September already? So please do tune in on Tuesday, September 1 at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. And I will be announcing my guest in my newsletter, so I really encourage you to go to agewiseliving.com and to sign up for it. So remember, I'm going to be off for the month of August. I'm going on vacation for a couple of weeks in there. So please do tune in on Tuesday, September 1st. I had a great time today. I want to thank you all so much for listening. So until September 1st, this is your most appreciative host, Barbara Friesner, saying have a terrific August and carpe diem. Seize the day.
We appreciate your joining us for AgeWise Living with host Barbara Friesner. Please tune in again next Tuesday morning at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, here on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.